there. I am pretty confident. I knew it would happen. Thank you. I'm hoping you've had a great morning. I know that many of our young folks have been to Rush, and if you stayed at Rush the whole weekend, I know that you are especially sleepy. I will do my dead level best to be soothing and calm so that if you need rest, you can get some of that. But thank you for being here. We're so glad to have a lot of visitors. Very thankful to you for coming this morning. This morning, I want us to think about where will you go. And if you noticed, Clay looked at where I was going this morning with the sermon, and he has given us a very good start in thinking, if we've been thinking about the words to the song, about where we are going. In fact, Clay, is anywhere with Jesus, is that number 48? I want you to turn to number 48, and Clay, I want you to lead. You can lead from there if you want to, but I want this third verse led because it is saying so much to us about where we go. So, Clay, if you will lead us in the third verse of that song, number 48, if you need a book, turn to there.
And here we go. One of the greatest blessings we have is the Lord has given you permission to choose where to go. You can go anywhere you want to. Larry, you can go to Oklahoma to visit your family out there if you'd like. You have the freedom to do that. George and Linda can go to Connecticut if they want to spend the whole summer. And they can come home when they want to. You can go anywhere you want to. God's given you that choice. But the real question is, where will you go? Now, this very third verse that we just sung has a great message for us. Going over land and sea, telling souls in darkness of salvation free. God didn't tell me to go anywhere. I've been blessed to go to a number of states in America. I've been blessed to go to a number of foreign countries in our world. God didn't tell me to go to any of those. I chose every one of those except when I was younger and my family made those choices for me. But someone made the choice of where I have been. Most of my life, it's been me. But what God did not give me a choice to do was to think about what I am going to do wherever I go. So, I have been to this poem I'm about to show you before, and obviously since I've used it before, you would know that I am a fan of Dr. Seuss. And I want you to think about what this poem says for you. Whether you care about Dr. Seuss, whether you're one of those people that think that poems don't belong in sermons, whatever your thinking is, stop thinking what you're thinking for a minute and see if this poem applies to you. Dr. Seuss says, you have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself in any direction you choose. You're on your own. You know what you know, and you are the guy who will decide where you go. Have you thought about that for you? Where are you going today? When you begin to think about that, God gives us the opportunity to choose. What a great blessing we have in life to choose. Now, I want you to transfer, if you can, your thinking about this person that Dr. Seuss is talking about with brains in their head and feet in their shoes and being able to steer themselves in any direction they choose. They're on their own. They know what they know, and they are the guys that decide where to go. And I want you to think about James 4:13-16. whoever James was talking about, and it's quite likely he was talking to Christian people, because James was writing to Christian people. It's quite likely he was talking to Christian people about their plans, about what they are thinking, about where they were. And you know, James, a long time before Dr. Seuss came up with this poem, he knew that these were people with brains in their head. They were businessmen. They made money. That's what they wanted to do. They had feet in their shoes. They could travel to distant cities. I'm going to go to a certain city and buy and sell and get gain. They had a direction they had chosen. They made decisions that they had planned about. They had thought ahead. They made those decisions because they knew what they knew, and they were the ones who decided what to do. It's a good deal, isn't it? A great business plan. Now, you see, that really would apply to all of us, whether we're business people or not. Regardless of where we're going, that would apply to all of us. Everybody in this room that is accountable before God has a brain in your head. You've got feet in your shoes, and you can travel wherever it is that you choose. You are the one who will decide. But there's something very wrong with the thinking of the people here in James 4 and verse 13. When you stop and think about it, it was a plan of pride. And I want you to think about the pride that you have this morning. This morning, it doesn't matter how good looking you are. If your pride's in your good looks, you're in trouble. It doesn't matter how brilliant you are. If your pride is in your brain, you're in real trouble. It doesn't matter what a great business person you are. If your pride is in your business ability and the money that you make, you're in real trouble. If your pride is in some football team, you may be in real trouble this morning. And if you're not, if your pride's in that football team and that's all you really care about and think about, you are in real trouble, win or lose those football games. It doesn't matter what you put your pride in. We have some great teachers in this room. Someone was asking me how I felt about preaching at Henderson. I said, every time I get up to preach, there are 15 or 20 or 30 people in that audience that could get up and do a better job preaching than I can. That's how I feel. But I want to say what I want to say, and I want to preach the message of God, and I want to try to remind people about what God would like for them to think about and do. So this morning, I'm wanting you to think about what your pride is in. The Bible has a lot to say about pride. I've just given you a couple of New Testament passages, a couple of Proverbs that help us see what God teaches us about the wrong kind of pride. In 1 John 2 and verse 16, when John is trying to tell us not to fall in love with the world, it's so easy. There are so many great things in the world. He is telling us, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. Why? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. These are not of the Father. They are of the world. And the world and the lust thereof will pass away. When we have the pride of this world that helps us feel great about things that we are really good at in this world, and we put all of our confidence in that, we're in real trouble. If you look at Mark chapter 7, Jesus is trying to teach us. If you have pride in your looks or your athletic ability or your business ability, or you have pride in your social ability, whatever it is you have pride in, it doesn't come from your good looks or your ability or any other thing other than from a heart that needs some adjusting. Because Jesus gives us this tremendous list of sin that come from the heart. And the wrong kind of pride is deep down in your heart. And it comes out. And it puts us in real trouble. The Proverbs helps us to see the Lord's thinking. Pride goes before a destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. When pride comes, then comes shame. So many in our world today are like the people in Jeremiah's time when they had forgotten how to blush at the things that they ought to be ashamed of. Sin had become so prominent in their lives, they had gone so far away from God, they could not even blush. They didn't know what shame was. Many people in our culture are so prideful over so many things and put their lives at stake because of the pride that they have in so many things. And God teaches us how serious that is. May we see shame. If we ourselves have our pride in those worldly things that are not of the Father, but of the world. Solomon says something like this in the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, for those of you that know the text of the Bible, this is Roy Sharp's version. Solomon raises the question, how does the good-looking person die? And his response would be just like the ugly person. How does that brilliant teacher die? Just like that poor person that has no teaching ability whatsoever. How does that great athlete die? Just like the person that doesn't even know how to bounce a ball. We're all in the same boat. And we need to be thinking about where we are going. These people were ready to say, I will go into such a city and buy and sell and get gain. Good plan. Something was wrong. James tells us several things that they did not take into account. They didn't take into account the nature of time. You do not know what will be on the morrow. I'm telling you, as we look at life, there will be some changes in the lives of people in this room today. Most likely, I don't know what they are, but there will be some changes in the lives of people in this room that we are not going to like. And we may be saying, wow, I saw that person yesterday at church, and now we hear this. Things change. The nature of time is that we do not know what will be on the morrow. So if you folks that are young, starting over here with you young folks, if you think you've got it made, and I tell the college students all the time, they're looking at an old guy like me and they're thinking, man, if I live that long, it'll be forever. No, it won't. Our days are as a passing shadow. James tells us something here about the nature of life. What is your life? They're talking to you. God is talking to you young folks, just like he's talking to you folks that are my age and older. What is your life? Your life is like a vapor that appears for a moment and then it vanishes away. You could talk, I don't know who the oldest person in this room is, but I know they're into their 90s. You could talk to the person that's in their 90s. You folks go find the person that's 90 years old. Brother Whittle, can they come talk to you? Go talk to Brother Whittle about how fast he got from where you are to where he is. Go talk to him about what James is trying to tell every one of us about the nature of time and about the nature of life. What is your life? You are a vapor. That's a part of what you need to be thinking about. And then these folks forgot to take into account the Lord's will. I wish I could tell you, it'd be embarrassing if I knew how many times I have made plans, I have thought about things of what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it, what I'm going to do to succeed and where I'm going to go and never think about the Lord. Oh, it would be so embarrassing if you knew how many times I had done that. How embarrassing would it be when you begin to think about what Roy Sharp is planning to do and he would not humble himself before God, get on his knees and thank God for the opportunity to live and to be able to try to do some things. We leave God out of our plans. And these folks in James 4, they were not using the brain in their head when they had their feet in their shoes deciding where to go. we need to be taking into account the Lord's will. But I'll tell you something we don't think about. We don't think about how evil pride is. Look at verse 16. Now you boast in your arrogance. And God said, all such boasting is evil. I didn't fully prepare like I meant to for this morning in this way. I looked at the lyrics of the song, I Did It My Way. Have you ever really thought about that? Some of you love that song, whether you liked it with Elvis or Frank Sinatra. Some of you could probably tell me the lyrics to that song, and I'm sorry that I can't this morning. Because if you would go take a look at those lyrics to that song, how embarrassing would it be to stand before God and say, I did it my way. That song has a lot to say to us about how we ought not to think in this life and in this world. And those words in our culture that give us that, they affect us more than we think they do. These people had brains in their head, feet in their shoes. They had the opportunity to choose, but they had a lot of problems. What about you as you think about life? There's a remedy. It's not an easy remedy. It's one of the hardest things going. It's one of the few things that Jesus said about himself. When Jesus told us about himself, he said on one occasion, I am meek and lowly in heart. And if we will follow him, we can find rest unto our souls. Meekness is defined in a number of ways, but one of the ways that I like to look at it, it's strength, that is harness, power under control, the power to choose, and we choose according to the Lord's will. We should say, if the Lord wills, I will do this or that. If you look back just a few verses before the ones that we've read, James is talking about personal pride when he says that we know God resists the proud. This morning, if you are confident of your life because you are something that this world would recognize as great, you need to know that God resists the proud. But on the other hand, if you are willing to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, he gives grace to the humble. And so James has a remedy. He says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We have a personal example of that. When Hezekiah rose up in his pride, he had become very powerful. He had become a great king in the world's point of view, but he had forgotten about God. And then we come to this great verse in chapter 32 of 2 Chronicles in verse 36. Then Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart. He and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come upon them in the days of Hezekiah. This morning, there may be some folks in this room who have been so filled with pride that they will not humble themselves to respond to the Lord. It doesn't take a public response. It would be a great blessing this morning if someone humbled themselves and came forward and said, I need to be buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of my sins, and I'm willing to confess the name of Christ before this audience, and I am willing to give my life to the Lord. That would be a great example. It would be a great blessing, and if it is from the bottom of your heart, it would show tremendous humility in giving up yourself and submitting to the Lord. It may be that there is a member of the body of Christ who has risen up with pride and you are doing life your way instead of the Lord's way. If you were to come and you respond to the Lord this morning in humility, praying that God will forgive you as you choose repentance. God will bless you. Where will you go this morning as we stand and as we sing?